Shalom, Haverim, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries Hour, live on Christian Radio, 1220 AM, as well as the World Wide Web, WHKWradio.com. This is John Bartlett, your co-host, along with Sheila Crawford, minister, teacher, and ongoing student of God's Word. And we are really glad you decided to spend some time with us tonight and as we continue in God's integrated message system. That's the Bible. To really see the fingerprint of the Holy Spirit on Scripture and how it intertwines. So be sure to have the Bible ready and get ready to take some notes, because you'll definitely want to share these truths with a friend. But first we want to ask God to be with us, as we always do, and to bestow His wisdom on His servants tonight. And we just thank You, Lord, that You've given us the opportunity again to minister Your Word over the airwaves and on the Internet. And we want to lift up to You all the prayer requests we get a lot, and we got a lot this month, Lord. Please grant them favor and answer their petitions, especially for this Christian lady, and she's a victim of domestic violence. And we come against this evil and ask for Your divine intervention and Your will to be done in her life. And Lord, we pray for those who are called by Your name, who are fighting cancer and other diseases, but especially cancer, skin cancers, on the area of the face and on the back. And we just, in the name of Yeshua, we curse the root of this disease and all the fellow believers that are listening and agreeing to this petition right now. And we thank You, Lord. You are our healer. And most of all, Lord, we thank You for Your Son, Yeshua, who has saved us from our major disease, and that's sin. And we thank You for the ability to be on the air, and thank You for our faithful listeners. We just say hi to Dale and Bonnie out there listening to us, faithful listeners and supporters. You really bless us. Lord, thank You for giving us listeners like that. Please soften the hearts of the families of our listeners and friends who still need to be saved by the truth of Your Word, because You alone are worthy. Yeshua, our Messiah, God in the flesh, who died and rose again so we can have eternal life with You forever and ever, in the name of Yeshua. Amen.
Amen, and I second that.
I do too. I third it.
And shalom to you, and to you, John, of course, and to all our listeners tonight. May God's grace and peace abound in your life. And may this broadcast increase your desire to get even closer with your Savior. I also want to announce that we're going to be starting the first Tuesday in May, which would be the 7th.
Mm-hmm.
We will begin a verse-by-verse study in the book of Jude. It's only one chapter, but it's sure full of goodies, especially on the angels that left heaven.
Okay. All right. I want to remind you, listeners, the phone lines are open, and should you have comments or a question, end-time question, that number is 888-677-WORD, W-O-R-D. All missed programs now are archived at shofarministries.net. So it's easy to go there. If you have a question but you don't want to be on the air, call in anyway. You know, our producer, Derek, will be happy to relay your question to us, and he's good at doing that. But before we get into any more of tonight's study, let's ask Sheila if we have news tonight.
Oh, well, there's always news, but I certainly am not going to spend the whole hour, which we could very easily do, on it.
Yeah, especially... I think the Boston terrorist attack everybody's kind of sick of hearing about it, I think.
Yeah, we're getting that point. And it's been a roller coaster ride, to say the least, about who these Tsarnaev brothers truly were or recruited by. Some news say they were recruited by Iran's Al-Quds in revenge for their sanctions. Others, like in Debka File, reported that they were possibly double agents who turned on the United States. And after all, the FBI did admit to talking to the older one, I guess, for quite some time, especially after he returned from Chechnya, which, as we know, is a real hotbed for terrorists. They actually train would-be bombers.
Hmm.
It kind of makes sense to me that they would try to get these brothers on our side, as we've done with many others.
Hmm.
Of course, many haven't worked out. But... you know, their family insists that it's not true, and that they had been under surveillance for many years. So who knows? We'll never know the whole truth.
I know. Their family said they were set up. I tend to kind of go along with the family on that one.
Do you really?
Yeah,
I'm
I
not
do.
Sure.
I'm not sure, but I...
I don't know. I think I like the double agent thing.
Yeah, well, that's true. And double agents usually, when they're found out or by either side, the result is they get taken out one way or the other.
Yeah, I know. It's a cruel world we live in.
It sure is. Yeah.
But we do know that the FBI did know them right from the get-go. When they put those pictures on the news, they were saying, oh, we think it's these two, and if anybody knows who they are. Well, they knew exactly who they were. They just didn't know where they were.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, but the whole coverage of this event seemed so perfect. And the way the events played out, they played out like a well-written drama. And that always makes me ask questions.
Well, and we should. But anyway, we can't get tied up in it because the world is not ours.
But
we don't care.
We're born-again Christians.
That's right.
And we don't have to fear this stuff, do we?
No, we don't. It just really confirms for us that you can't trust your government, either party. And it just helps us realize the days that we're living in. This is all part of it. I mean, the Bible is very clear. Many, many prophecies about how the government will be corrupt, that judges will be bribed. You know, good will be called evil and evil be called. I mean, we know all this has got to happen. So knowing that, just recognize the times. And here's what I think. OK, as Christians, first of all, you study your word more than ever. That gets your armor on. You pray for the protection over your family, you know, and just keep looking up for the great escape. Never let your children go out of the door without laying hands on them and praying protection from the enemy, because that's who our real fight is against anyway.
That's right.
And then focus just on your own small local communities. There's nothing we're going to be able to do anymore for the world and, you know, who our president is and all that kind of stuff. Just concentrate on your local community. Know your neighbors. Know what your schools are teaching. And know who your board members are. Even if you homeschool, which you might not be able to do forever. And then vote for proven, upstanding people that have been residing in your community, preferably having children and in your own hometown. You know, try to stick locally.
Yeah.
And again, know your neighbors, help them out. And then, of course, those that aren't saved, give them the gospel, not just through your words, but your actions. Show them love and kindness. And then tell them what's going to happen in the near future. And if they don't want it now, at least maybe they'll understand when it happens what to do. And that's really what we're called to do
now. Yeah, not really worry about the government because we all know what they're going to do. They're going to...
We all know. But anyway, Washington we know is corrupt, and I believe a lapdog for Saudi Arabia, by the way. I've really gotten confirmation on that during this time. They have given money to every large institution, all the big banks, lots of money.
Who has?
Saudi Arabia.
Oh, wow.
There are Islamic Wahhabi schools all over, and we are not allowed to even see their curriculum. I mean, they have these schools all over, and we're not allowed to see their curriculum.
Wahhabi schools?
Yes, Wahhabi.
What's
they're Islamic
Wahhabi?
Schools.
Okay.
Very
I didn't know. I
strict
thought it...
sect of Islam.
Okay.
Of course, they have front groups, and one of them is that CAIR.
C-A-I-R.
C-A-I-R. Don't ask me what it stands for. Some Islamic thing. And then especially the Muslim Brotherhood, too, which, by the way, we've kind of said they're okay. Well, they're not okay.
Well, it's okay. Good.
But you know what? I want to focus real quick on the very first bomber because, well, who we think is the very first suspect.
The first one they talked about.
Very first guy, Monday night. Remember that guy who was described as a dark-skinned person because no one's allowed to say Islam or Arab? They were very careful about that.
Yeah.
But the very first bomber, Monday night, his last name is El Harbi. He was a known foreign national and well-connected to Saudi Arabia family.
Okay.
Now, he was here on a student visa. But the student visa was marked for Findlay, Ohio.
Oh.
But he never made it here or there or wherever you want to say. We live in Ohio, so, you know. But he did have an apartment in Boston, as you probably know. But there is some talk that he was scheduled to be deported because his visa either ran out or they caught the fact that he wasn't in Findlay. I'm not quite sure. But anyhow, this Arab was caught at the scene with burns on his hands. something went awry. So they took him in custody Monday night, and he was in the hospital and heavily questioned for like 9 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Then the FBI easily got a search warrant from a judge to search his apartment. Now, a judge just doesn't do that easily. I mean, you have to have good reason for doing it.
Mm-hmm. Reasonable cause.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So they did. And they also talked to his roommates, which he had two, I believe, for another 5 hours, taking them in Tuesday afternoon. And then they created what they call an event file. Now, an event file is a special kind of file which is only created for terrorists.
Mm.
And then they even give this file a number. And his number was 212-3B. And if you have a 3B status, it is only used for the even most dangerous terrorists.
Like evangelical Christians.
Yes, you're right.
They're probably 3Bs by now.
Yeah. But anyway, on Tuesday night, John Kerry meets with the Saudi prince, of course, behind closed doors. And then on Wednesday, a Saudi Arabian ambassador visits Obama at the White House. And then by Wednesday night, the FBI says, well, this guy's no longer a suspect. And by Thursday, the FBI said they made a mistake. And now no one knows where he's at.
Hmm.
Now, what do you think about that? I believe he's probably back in Saudi Arabia and left with that ambassador guy.
Yeah, we'll never know. But, you know, I used to think we were owned by China. You know, that idea gets out a lot. But now I'm thinking we're more, the Saudis own more of us.
Right.
I know they own... They've been contributing millions to the Ivy League.
The radio stations, the media.
Schools on the East Coast, yeah.
I mean, it's really something. But I do want to tell you, and I just found this out 5 minutes before I left the house,
mm-hmm.
that according to beforeitsnews.com, they say that this Arab is actually the son of Osama bin Laden.
Who had a lot of sons, but...
Yes, he had three wives. But
interesting.
One of his favorite sons, I understand. And, of course, you realize Osama bin Laden was from Saudi Arabia.
Right, exactly.
And he got in a fight with them over some company or something. But, you know, Saudis still love their grandchildren and stuff. So that's all I know.
Okay, and that was at beforeitsnews.com.
Do you remember that guy that was actually, we think, murdered Breitbach, I think his name was? Breitbach? Well... He would report the truth, and anyway, somebody killed him, we think.
Ooh.
Yeah, so. But anyway, this is the same news.
Okay, well, how about Syria?
Syria. Well, of course, the civil war still continues.
Mm-hmm.
There's been 6 consecutive days of fighting in Damascus suburbs, and many as several hundred, I guess, have died in the last couple of days.
Mm. It's a shame.
Violence comes as forces loyal to Assad ramped up their offensive against the rebels. So the United States and Saudi Arabia, by the way, I understand, is giving the rebels more that's labeled non-lethal aid to the tune of about $250 million.
And we can't even take care of our needy people here in our country. That's a shame.
No, of course. And because of the sequester, we've got people that are delayed in the airports because we don't have enough control people.
Huh. Okay, well, that's it for the news, I guess.
Yeah, well...
I learned that Wahhabi wasn't that green sauce that you have with your...
No, that's wasabi.
Oh, that's wasabi. But the Wahhabi is the Arabic school. Okay.
Yeah, it is. And
I did
one. Yeah.
Well, now we got started on our study last week in Scripture, and we're calling Scripture an integrated message system.
It really is, John. And as I said last week, earlier this year, we looked at the church age... In Revelation 2 and 3, it's represented by 7 letters to the 7 churches.
That's right.
It starts off right at the beginning with the church at Ephesus in around 33 A.D.
Mm-hmm.
and goes all the way till today. It's excellent, mm-hmm. excellent synopsis of the church age.
And that's in Revelation.
But we especially looked at Thyatira because it represents the first one-world pagan church.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we looked at how the 7 churches interlocked with not only the 7 parables of Matthew 13, but also the letters that Paul wrote. Now, there was 3 different writers to that, isn't it? We had Matthew for the parables,
mm-hmm.
John for Revelation, and, of course, we had Paul for the letters.
And they weren't all together on this. I mean, they weren't physically together.
No, they wrote at different times.
Different times, and
but
geographically.
Obviously the same spirit, because
yes, geographically
everything interlocks, and that's what we talked about. We started it last week. We got through. I think we hurried through the fifth church.
Yeah.
So we're going to tonight do a quick overview of last week, and then we're going to finish the last two today.
Okay.
So.
So these three different authors, and it's first century. There's no cell phones. We know that they can't communicate with one another that way. So, pretty remarkable. Well, anyway, let's start our review. We have a call?
Yes, we do. It's John in Euclid. He has a question. He's not on the air, though, is he? Oh, he is. Okay. John, you're from Euclid?
Yeah, praise the Lord. I'm from Euclid.
Euclid, okay. And what is your question?
Well, you know that... I'm sure you see how our country is headed under the present. You know, it's been turned away from the Lord for a long time, but now seem to be officially declaring things that God says are evil to be good. And we see, you know, God's judgment falls for that kind of thing. I mean, nations are destroyed through that. And God does bring, you know, it says the wicked will be turned into hell.
That's right.
And, I mean... You know, it's a frightening thing, but
it is.
I mean, we just had to be faithful, but still, you know, we have to have a concern for our nation because we do live here. And at one time, America really was a place, well, certainly a place where a lot of missionaries came
out. I agree.
Went to other places.
I agree.
So now I'll just pass this along. No, we had a missionary at our church on Sunday, and he goes to Israel. His ministry is to Russian Jews in Israel.
Wow.
And, yeah, it was really a blessing.
Yeah.
He brought a shofar, too, and played it. I actually got to try to play it a little bit. Not to spend too much time on that, but just the pressure lips together.
Yeah. Yep.
Going in. It's really hard. I got a sound out of it a couple times, and they said, you do better than most people.
Yeah.
So I thought it was...
Was his name Igor, by the chance?
No.
Okay, because I know someone like that, too.
I would tell you his name, but I don't know if he wants it. So.
No, that's fine.
Because he said the reason is he did say this. I mean, this is sort of off the topic, but just quickly, he did say they have problems because they go to Israel and the government like says, okay, what are you doing here? You're not missionaries, are you? And have to like not so much lie as they have to be a little bit, you know, well, no, we're trying to do, you know, just minister to people.
Oh, I know. I've been to Israel. I understand that. Yeah.
Okay. I'm not familiar with that myself, but he made a plan. It's like a couple times they've had to like leave quickly. Like the government said, you're missionaries, get out, you know, like that, you know, but you know, he keeps faithfully going back and by God's grace, he gets back in.
Of course.
And his wife. So, but anyways, he just made the statement. Basically, so you know, I didn't come up with some of my own, but he says, with all the things we see in America, he just gave the opinion, he says, the one thing that America still is, up until the present administration, has been helping Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And once that happens, and we finally, if our nation finally turns away from Israel, that's when the judgment's really going to fall.
I agree.
Because I don't want to say pessimistic because he's trusting in the Lord, but he's like, well, this country is like, that's maybe the one thing. At one time, the country sent out a lot of missionaries. Now the church is pretty apostatizing.
Right. Well, I think, too, it goes by what our president does, too. That's what God looks at. It's always the leader of the country that makes those kind of decisions, and it's pretty obvious to most people that have eyes. Mm-hmm. That he's not really in favor, although he sure is trying to fake it lately. But
he's making use of
every decision against Israel he can. He obviously identifies much more with the Islamic nations. He says it at times, his Islamic faith, you know. I mean, he has slipped up and said that, and then other times he'll say, oh, no, I'm a Christian. But
right.
Everything he does shows bad food.
Yes, and George Bush said he was a born-again Christian, too, and I really doubt that now.
We all know not say anything.
Yeah.
They're known by their fruits. I'm not judging. I'm just saying.
I'm not saying I would disagree with that, but, I mean, I think if it was just a chance, I'd say George Bush had a greater testimony than him. For I mean, I don't.
Well, that's
really
true.
Saved,
he made me believe him longer, anyway.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, maybe he knew a little more.
Yeah.
You know, he knew how to fake a little better. I don't know.
So, John, but, do you have a question in mind?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, it says in Zechariah, you know, it tells about, you know, that, you know, it says, "Thus saith the Lord that stretches out the heavens," you know,
mm-hmm.
and he says, you know, he'll gather all nations against Israel.
Yes.
And, you know, then he's going to fight for Israel.
Yeah, he's doing that on purpose so that he gets all the glory.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and the thing is, right, oh, Zechariah 12, he says, "I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people."
Right, and it
is.
He
tells about what he's going to do, and it's just, you know, he says in verse 8, "In the day the Lord shall defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, he that is feeble among them shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as God, and the angel of the Lord before them."
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing what's going to happen.
Oh, yeah, hold on to your hat. But I think a lot of that the worst is going to happen during the tribulation, and I'm a firm believer in a pre-trib rapture, so.
You're an escapist.
I'm an escapist, and I think that we're going to be out of here within a couple of years. I just have my heart set on that, so. Anyway, I hope you'll keep listening to the program. I'm really glad you called in. It's good to know.
Okay, yeah, thank you. Yeah, I believe in it indefinitely that the Lord's not appointed me to wrath either.
Amen.
Good for you, John.
Yeah, so
good for you.
I praise the Lord for that.
We're like-minded.
I still have a lot of unsaved family and friends.
Mm-hmm. Keep praying, yeah.
Basically everyone I know. I've just really became a Christian only a few years ago.
Mm.
And really,
just in time.
Yeah. I had you know, a profession of faith for a long time, but I really did not have the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
Makes a difference.
That's the difference between heaven and hell. Really, that
I think that's a big difference. That's for sure.
Yeah. Oh, and that's so. I mean, I just hope people would see, with everything going on, they see the Bible being fulfilled.
Yeah.
And know that these things are going to happen. It's now the time to. Today is the day of salvation.
It is. It is.
Very little time left.
Well, thank you a lot for calling.
Well, praise the Lord. Yeah,
all right, John. God bless. Okay.
Okay, now we were going to do a quick review of where we were with the seven parables.
We were going to say,
but that was good because we needed to hear from John, and John
callers.
Needed to call. But you said Paul wrote seven letters that match to the seven churches.
That's right.
But there's more than seven books in the New Testament that he wrote. So how does that break down?
Well, Paul wrote 13 letters by his signature.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he signed them. Four letters went to people. Do you remember who those were?
Yeah, that's Titus, Philemon, and two to Timothy.
That's right. So how many does that leave?
Okay, that leaves us nine.
Well, two were written to the church twice.
Okay, that's Corinthians.
And Thessalonians.
Thessalonians.
So it leaves how many different churches?
Well, that just adds up to seven.
That's right. So
it
matches the same seven as the seven churches.
And that's the integrated part that we're so fascinated with, seven churches, seven parables, and seven separate letters that Paul wrote to these churches.
That's right. And it's also interesting that the seven churches and the seven parables match in order, so it's pretty easy to figure it out. Now, the writings of Paul, they're not in order, so you have to think a little harder which matches which. But that's what we've been doing, huh?
That's right. That's exactly what we've been doing. Let's start with the parable of the sower tonight.
Okay. The parable of the sower is the sowing seed church, the beginners. Church is that?
That's Ephesus. That's from 33 to 100
A.D.
And
this parable gives four kinds of results, as we know.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about how interesting it is that one of the reasons that the seed doesn't root is because the birds come and eat it quickly, which Jesus himself interprets in Matthew 13:19 as being the wicked ones.
Mm-hmm. Demons.
Demons.
Birds.
Absolutely.
That's
no
what
doubt
the birds
about
represent.
It. Right out and says it.
That's right.
Now, what church did Paul write to? Warning of the wicked ones in high places and to apply the armor of God on.
Oh, that's the Ephesians.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So then we went to the next church era, which would be the years 100 to 312.
And that was Smyrna, and that means myrrh, which is an embalming spice.
And why would it be an embalming spice?
Because they were suffering a lot of persecution.
Yes, exactly right. So death.
Death, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
for very strong Christians for like 200 years, extremely persecuted and martyred.
Right.
So the second parable that matches this church was?
The wheat and the tares.
That's right, because he says, hold on tight. The suffering will not last forever. Remain faithful. Overcome to the end when evil, which is represented by the tares, will be destroyed in the fire. Likewise, was there a letter that Paul wrote to a certain church telling them to remain faithful to the end, whose central theme was joy of suffering, to die is gain.
And that's Philippians.
It does.
Mm-hmm.
See how
and that matches right
isn't
in there.
Fun?
Yep.
Now, again, we're just covering this quickly and briefly, but last week we went into more detail.
Mm-hmm.
Just wanted to remind the people, it's on the archives and on the webpage. Okay, the third church to cover the years now, 312 to about 606, in order, still in Revelation 2, is?
Pergamos, which introduces and encourages wicked paganism.
Well, it does, and that's when Babylon moved its headquarters to Pergamos, and in verse 13, it actually says, you dwell where Satan's throne is.
Yeah.
And that always confused me because I knew it was in Babylon. But when I studied history, which sometimes it's a good thing to do, I realized that he did move the throne to Pergamos.
That's right. They were thrown out and they ended up in Pergamos. And the third parable that matches is about the mustard seed.
Yeah, it's the smallest of seeds. It really should only be a bush. But this one gets too big, and so what happens? The birds.
Oh, we know where the birds are.
Which we, which represents demons, make their home in it.
Ooh.
So, is there a church that Paul wrote to where he said Satan comes as an angel of light?
Of course, and it's Corinthians. And when we get into the book of Jude, we'll talk more on that topic.
Yes, indeed, starting May 7th.
Mm-hmm.
So, the next set of years is from the year 606 till the Reformation. In about 1517, we had a one-world church as represented by the fourth church called...
Thyatira.
That's right. Now it's still here today.
Mm-hmm.
And, but not the only church anymore, but...
Oh, yes.
You know, soon it will be.
Okay.
Okay. And it will be, of course, once the ones escape.
The true believers... escape the coming judgment. We're escaping again.
That's right.
You escapist, you.
Anyway, we see this one world church coming together as we talked in great length, the first 3 months on this program, when we talked about the one world church and
the
new pope and all that kind of stuff. So we're seeing all these religions come together under the pope, and of course he's even saying, as long as you believe in God, any God, you'll go to heaven. So that's totally... changed.
No, that's, and it's blasphemy, too.
And we've already talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
we can't be here.
That's right.
We have to go because we're restraining this one world church.
Because
and it's prophesied. It has to happen.
Thank you. Okay, so Thyatira actually means continual sacrifice. Do you know why?
Yeah, because this church, the universal church, the Catholic Church, continues to sacrifice Christ at every Mass.
That's right.
And there's even more. You have to confess your sins not to God, but to a priest.
That's right. That's called the doctrine of Nicolaitans, where the certain people are higher than the others, the hierarchy.
Mm-hmm.
You need a priest to forgive your sins, and the Pope is infallible. Now, to me, in essence, that's saying you're God.
That's right, and that's blasphemy. Let's just call it what it is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so the fourth parable now that matches this church
is the leaven.
The parable of the leaven.
Mm-hmm, and that's always a picture of sin.
That's right. It's false doctrine. This is the leaven. It's hidden at first and then grows until all is leaven, adding works to grace.
Mm-hmm.
Paganism, greed, and even murder, if you look at the Inquisitions. So, who's the church now that Paul wrote to that dealt with the false doctrine of works rather than grace alone? Even mentions leaven.
Yeah, it says a little leaven. Leaven's the whole lump. Don't you remember that? Galatians.
That's right.
Church Galatia.
So then, last week, we only were able to finish this next church, and this is the church that at around 1517 A.D., of course, and it's still here today actually broke away from the One World Church, and that
That's the Church of Sardis, and that means the remnant.
That's right. It's the remnant that broke away, left the One World Church from the powers of pagan Rome, the political universal church. They did the right thing, okay? I'm so glad for the Reformation.
They did.
But according to the letter that Jesus said, they concentrated too much on doctrine and they missed the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
They lacked it.
They lacked the Holy Spirit. John was talking about that. Our caller was about that. It's important.
And the mainline churches today still lack the gifts, and they're really not looking for Jesus' prophecy.
No, they're not.
And because of that, he told them in the letter to Sardis, he said, "Be watchful, or I will come upon you as a thief." So, see, we're supposed to be watching for Jesus.
That's right. Now, the matching parable, the fifth parable that matches this is the parable of the hidden treasure.
That's right.
And it's about a remnant, isn't it?
That's right. Mm-hmm. And it's the parable is about a man who finds in the field, which is a picture of the world, a treasure. He sold all he had so he could buy the field so he could get the treasure in it. And to me, this is a picture of Jesus paying the price of his death for the world to eventually get the treasure. But we're going to see particularly one particular gem in the next church. So in other words, when escrow closes at the end of 6,000 years, since he paid the price already and bought the world, but we're waiting for escrow to close, and the deal is about to close, and we'll see that in Revelation 5 when Jesus takes the deed.
Or the scroll.
And opens the seal. So the property can be cleaned up first. I don't know about you, but when I buy a new house, I go and I clean it up first.
Same with me. Every new house I've purchased in the last 2 years.
Who did Paul write to explaining doctrinal issues?
He wrote to Romans.
Okay.
Yeah, to the Church of Rome.
So do you see the integration?
Okay, we
That's right.
We do. And we have three more to finish up with.
Yeah, I think we might skip the break. What do you think?
Yeah, I think we better.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's
Too bad.
Go on. All right. The Church of Philadelphia now. This is one that we hadn't talked about, so we're going to spend a little more time on that, especially since it's my favorite church.
Mm-hmm.
And I go there.
You go to the Church of Philadelphia.
Do.
That's a long way from Cleveland.
Do you go there, John?
Of course I do. Mm-hmm. Of course I do. Every time we fellowship at Shofar at the first Friday of every month at Chester Christian Center. And
But we actually live in the Church of Philadelphia. We're there 24-7.
Mm-hmm.
It actually means brotherly love. And this came about in around the year 1730. Now, it's the only church, and I hope everyone will read the seven churches in the Revelation because they're wonderful, especially if you read them all at the same time, you know, one after another.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the only church, other than Smyrna. Remember, Smyrna was the suffering, martyred church. This is the church and Smyrna, that has nothing bad said about them.
Well, that's right.
No correction.
No criticism on these churches.
No criticism. All the others have a flare of judgment.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Philadelphians broke away from the Sardis.
Which was the dead orthodoxy.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this was the missionary time, you know, came to America and birthed the missionaries and with the key of David who opens and no one can shut.
Mm.
Okay, that's referring to us. It began the Holy Spirit revival time, you know, Azusa Street around that area.
And at other times too.
Mm-hmm. But no criticism and a great promise in verse 10 that this church will escape the trials to test the earth dwellers.
Did you say escape?
I did.
Well, it looks like the Bible's escapism.
Oh, yeah, he says, pray you'll escape.
Oh. Well,
Luke 21.
He's an escapist too, isn't he?
That's right. And, of course, we know the earth dwellers is an idiom for those that are left behind. It's those that want to make the earth their home.
Right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, this is actually opposite of the Church of Thyatira.
Mm-hmm.
Because in verse 22, again in Revelation 2, says that the Church of Thyatira, that
the judgment part of it,
they will be cast into great tribulation.
Yeah.
So let me ask you, who did Paul write to, talking of a removal, a catching away, talked a little bit about the tribulation and the man of perdition.
That would be Thessalonians.
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that definitely matches. So do you see how integrated it is? Yes,
it is. It is. And it's that's why it's, we see the signature of the Holy Spirit.
We do.
In this. And how about that sixth parable that goes along with this?
Well, yeah, just like the church and the letter, there's the parable as well. And the sixth one in order would be that particular gem now in that hidden treasure, which is the real adornment,
mm-hmm.
and is a picture of the bride. It's the pearl. Now, the pearl, of course, are found in oysters, and it was always a favorite of the Gentiles, by the way.
Well,
the Jewish people,
they're not allowed to eat that.
No, Deuteronomy 14 says they were not allowed to eat them, but they knew its value. So I heard or read that they did trade them quite a bit,
mm-hmm.
and it was very profitable. But I see the pearl as being a typology of us before and after we're saved.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, the pearl is the only gem that comes from a living organism. Wow. And it begins with an ugly irritation.
Yeah, that little piece of sand. That mm-hmm. That's like that little thing of leaven. That's sin, isn't it?
That's sin.
Yeah.
And, of course, before we know Christ, we have sin. We have that irritation in us.
Yeah.
Okay?
And then what happens to that?
And then we get saved. And just like the pearl eventually turns white
mm-hmm.
and whiter, we are white with his righteousness. And there are different sizes of pearls. Some are whiter than others. And Daniel 12:3 gives the same kind of analogy by using the stars. He says, we will be like the stars, and there are some brighter and some not so bright.
Okay.
So that kind of gives you, there'll be, you know, really good Christians and some better than that, some not so good, but they're still all Christians. You know, it's sort of like part of that parable of the sower.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's different levels.
Yeah, that's 30-fold, right.
30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold.
Right. We talked about that. You can go check
that
out on
last
week's program on the website.
But what's interesting is this pearl is protected by an outer shell while it's growing in him, which is our armor of Jesus. While we grow, we're protected by the armor of Jesus, like the pearl is protected in the shell of the oyster.
Okay.
Now, eventually, that pearl's going to be removed, just like we're going to be removed from our environment. I just love it. I just really love it. It's just really...
A lot of pictures in this.
And then this pearl is going to adorn the groom, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, by the way, only the pearls will leave.
Oh.
And... The New Jerusalem has 12 gates.
And they're all made from pearl.
How'd you know?
I know that. But I always wondered why. And why it was mentioned.
That's it.
And that is really cool. And that's the Church of Philadelphia.
That's right. And when we get done here, if we have time, remind me, maybe we'll read Matthew 3:17, because it talks about the treasures a little bit there.
Okay, yeah.
Okay?
So.
But here we've got the three again. We've got the Church of Philadelphia. We've got Thessalonians that Paul wrote to that talks about similar things. And then we have the parable of the pearl.
Very good.
Isn't that beautiful?
That brings us to number 7.
It does, the last church.
And that's the Church of Laodicea.
Do you know what that means?
Yes, I do. It means to rule, doesn't it?
By the people.
By people.
Not God.
Ah, okay.
They like to make their
own their own rules. There we go. Okay.
And not follow God's rules. And boy, you see that today.
Do you ever?
Oh, my goodness.
Do you ever?
I mean, they really only have a head knowledge. They'll call themselves Christians, but they make their own rules to live by. I mean, I know of couples that even refuse to believe that sex before marriage is a sin. And yet they'll call themselves a Christian. And the Bible's very clear, the fornication,
mm-hmm.
you'll not go to heaven. And they totally disregard that as they do homosexuality. They say it's okay. God says it's not.
Yeah. It sounds like they're rewriting the rule book.
That's right. It's a Last Days church. They think they need nothing.
Mm-hmm.
They're noted for its pleasures. They like to have a lot of fun on the weekends, especially.
Rich. Wealthy.
Will write down Christian on an application, but extremely worldly.
Yeah.
And you know, I did a little history. Laodicea was a city of great wealth. They were sort of a Las Vegas vacation town.
Really?
Yeah.
So what goes on in Laodicea stays in Laodicea. Right?
And Jesus says nothing good about them. In fact, he tells them how to get saved, because obviously they weren't. And in verse 16 it says, he's on the outside knocking to get in.
How many times have we heard that and read that verse and wondered why it, how it applied? But it applies to a church that isn't saved. Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm. Name only.
Wow. So, surely some have to be saved in this church.
I don't think so, because if they really were, they'd be in the Church of Philadelphia.
Oh, they'd be. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
So, kind of answered that.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, they're not that fervor, that passion for Jesus. They're not really intimate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's like on the sidelines. You know, they'll go to church maybe once a week even, but, you know, don't read their Bible, you know, only pray on occasion if something happens and they need something. You know, they don't really praise him, worship him.
Right, right.
That's really what it is. And in Matthew 7, 21 through 23, he talks about that again, that at the end, last day, they'll say, but Lord, let me in. I'm a Christian. And he says, I didn't know you.
Yeah. Hmm.
So the spiritual condition also is described as lukewarm.
Yeah.
This kind of water is actually found in stagnant ponds, water holes. It's stale, foul, and stinketh.
Stinketh?
Stinketh.
Okay.
That's what King James says.
Okay.
Anyway, the character of such water is caused by lack of development or activity. And, of course, that's Laodiceans. There's no spiritual activity.
Hmm.
Christ offers counsel, for they are wretched, but they think they have need of nothing. So he rebukes them because he loves them. And actually, we, as born-again Christians, need to be planting those seeds to these people today and calling them on their sins. But we don't.
We don't, because
like,
we want to be politically correct. We don't want to make waves in the family.
Well, with time.
Yeah, it's time, maybe, isn't it?
We're running out of it.
What will my mother say? What will my father say?
Mm.
Well, it doesn't matter now.
Well, I've been saying it.
You have.
Oh, yeah.
I know you have.
Yeah, I told someone the other day, I says, well, when are you guys going to get married so they stop fornicating and go to heaven?
Yeah, that's at the point, that's the point where I duck.
That's what I said. That's my exact words.
You said that.
I did.
Yeah. And, well, hey.
But very soon, the religious system of Thyatira will once again encompass the world.
Hmm.
And
well, and it's already pretty strong, so we can see that that's going to happen.
It's such an obvious thing. I never thought I'd see it like it is, but it's really there. Man, when I saw the Pope, I didn't see it literally, but I saw clips of him actually having religious services and prayer meetings and saying that all these religions are going to heaven and shamans and witch doctors. And that is just awful.
Hmm.
But I don't want to go there. Okay.
So you're saying please don't squeeze the shamans.
John.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Oh, my
I just
goodness.
Had to throw that in there.
Yes, well, we need,
now, what's
we need a little humor, of course.
Okay.
So which church did Paul warn of similar things that relate to the New Age, worship of angels, visions, contain same phrases as in Laodicea, like the beginning of creation is the title of Jesus Christ?
That's Colossians,
yes,
right?
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
And in Colossians 1:15, it actually says Christ is the firstborn, which actually means the head over all creation.
Hmm.
In Colossians, Paul talks of Christ at the right hand, and so does Laodicea 3:21, actually. Colossians talks of God's wrath coming, and Laodicea says to repent and open the door for Jesus in verse 20.
Interesting. I thought we've got a little time. Maybe we could get that song in and then do the seventh church for last, or do you want to go right to it? Okay.
Yeah, because I think I want to read Malachi 3:17.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's do it too much at the end. We'll save it for next time.
All right.
So basically, the seventh parable is
the dragnet.
Yeah, that was always one that was.
Now, you came up with that term for it, right?
No, that's what it's called.
The dragnet.
Yeah,
it's okay.
In Matthew 13. But it's the judgment at the end of the tribulation. The wicked are destroyed. The unrighteous go to a place of torment until the great white. Talks about the sheep and the goats.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's the separation there at the end of the tribulation period. The sheep go into the millennial kingdom, and the goats go to hell waiting for the final judgment.
And that's sad. And that's the Church of Laodicea.
Right. So it matches Laodicea, matches the seventh parable, and, of course, the...
The seventh letter.
It was not the seventh, but it was the letter
to the Colossians. To the Colossians.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we've got an integrated message system, and you just definitely can't deny that. That's for sure.
And that means that this Bible that we read and we teach every week comes from
same thread of blood, doesn't
yes,
it?
Yes, it comes from a place that's outside of the boundaries of time and space. It actually comes from the Lord.
Amen.
You know, this is the Holy Spirit at work.
Amen.
And this is the work of the Holy Spirit. So.
Well, I am so glad that we have a few minutes.
Oh.
And I want, if people at home have their Bibles, please go to Malachi 3. And we're going to start reading. Oh, my gosh, there's so much good stuff in here. I'm just going to start in 16, and I'm going to read 16, 17, and we'll see how much time we have.
Okay.
Okay?
That works.
I'm in the New King James. And verse 16 says, those who feared the Lord spoke to one another. That's like you and me talking, John. Because do we have a fear of the Lord?
Yes, we do.
Yes, we do.
Mm-hmm.
A righteous and reverent fear of the Lord, of course. And the Lord listened and heard them. And basically what he's saying here is that God listens to us when we pray and talk to him and when we talk about him to each other.
That's so cool.
It is cool.
Yeah, that's cool.
Because then, just to make sure, he writes a book of remembrance, and he writes all these things in there. Hmm. And again, for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. So every time you talk about his name, meditate on him, pray, it's all getting written down. Now, of course, he doesn't need to have it written down, but mm-hmm. he wants to be able to show us
yeah.
when we get up there. Because this is the book that's going to be opened at the Bema Judgment.
Oh, okay.
And this is how he's going to give us our rewards, according to what's written down in this book.
Hmm.
So you see, every time you say, Lord, I love you, or praise the Lord, it gets written down. That kind of puts a different kind of color on that, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sure does. It really does, and it really lets you know that God really loves each one of us individually and intimately.
That's right. Now, verse 17 is the one that refers to the hidden treasure and stuff.
Oh, okay.
He says, they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day, and we've talked about that many times,
mm-hmm.
that I make them my jewels or special treasure.
Uh-huh.
So you see, there's that treasure.
Mm.
And he says, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Spare them from what?
Yeah, good question. Spare them from what? Could it maybe the tribulation?
I would bet.
Well, that would be like escapism, though, wouldn't it?
Oh, yes. It is.
Mm-hmm.
Then you shall return. And we will
Ooh.
Return at the end of 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
Between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not. So how do you like that?
I think that's
We're going to return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, help judge the sheep and the goats, and between the one who serves God and the one who does not.
That's really cool. We can put that in part of the integrated message system because that's
more confirmation.
More confirmation, and actually you can actually start in the old covenant, if you want to call it that.
Oh, yeah, it's all there.
And it's all there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, everything that we've studied tonight in the New Testament is all there.
I know.
So in the Old Testament. So.
All right, well, I think we're going to have to call it a night.
I guess so. If you have a question for Sheila, or you would like her to speak at your church or group, just email her, sheila@shofarministries.net, or just call the office. That number is 440-834-9006. Any and all donations are extremely important and vital to this ministry that uses Hebraic roots to teach that to unlock the keys of prophecy. Please pray about helping to sponsor this Shofar Ministries Hour. You can use PayPal on our webpage. You just send your gift to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. All donations automatically put you on the monthly newsletter. And while you're there, you might as well check out shofarministries.net, where all our newsletters and previous programs are archived, as well as Hebraic Roots teaching DVDs, and there are teaching CDs as well, proving the pre-trib rapture as well, if you want to do that. And now open your ears, because the next message is the most important thing you're going to hear.
Oh, if you're listening out there and you have never made Jesus Lord over your life, or maybe you are one of those of Matthew 7 who only have a head knowledge of him and not a heart conviction, get on your knees right now. Don't wait another minute. If you hesitate, the enemy could take that seat away. Repent of those individual sins that are lingering in your life, then commit or recommit your life to Yeshua, the Messiah of all. To those who desire him, that is, and he's knocking on the door of your heart. How could anyone not let him in? But it's always your choice and yours alone to choose him, thereby making it your decision where you go after death. Remember, God sends no one to hell. You decide yourself where your soul that never dies spends eternity. It has to go somewhere, people, with God or with Satan. You make the call.
Tonight we'll end with the ironic blessing. Yevrechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha, Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'chunecha, Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom.
The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Come out and meet us on Friday, May 3rd, at Chester Christian Center in Chesterland at 7 p.m. Until then, Sha'alu Shalom Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her, Jerusalem, shall prosper.
Psalm 122, verse 6. May 7th, begin the book of Jude.
Oh, that's right.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford and the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the left-hand side of the page, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on 8.